Good afternoon all. Today my topic of presentation is how urease and nitrification inhibitor as well as application rate influence various nitrogen losses under rainfed springweed conditions. We all know that urea is the most commonly used nitrogenous fertilizer, and when urea is applied into the soil, it can be lost through various pathways such as ammonia fertilization, nitrous oxide emissions, as well as nitrate leaching. All these nitrogen losses not only decrease the nitrogen use efficiency of the crop, but also pose a serious threat to the environment. Therefore, there is a time where the time has come to mitigate these nitrogen losses from these production systems. There are various stabilized nitrogen fertilizers available in the market that were claimed to reduce these nitrogen losses. One such example is the urease inhibitor, which delays the first step of nitrogen urea transformation, that is urea hydrolysis. And the second one is the nitrification inhibitor, which inhibits the nitrification process. By doing so, these products helps to synchronize the nitrogen availability in the soil with the crop and demand. So when I went through the literatures and see through all the studies that has been conducted throughout the globe in cereal systems, I found that there were various mixed results. Some studies says there is an increase in nitrous oxide emissions. Some says there is a decrease in nitrous oxide emissions. So I thought that there is a need to generalize their findings. So we conducted a meta-analysis only for cereal systems. And this meta-analysis consists of nearly 48 studies all around the globe. And we found that use of both urease and nitrification inhibitor, that is NBPT, as well as DCD, significantly reduced N2O emissions by nearly 30%. And they also maintain the crop yield at the same time. While the use of nitropyrene, which is one of the nitrification inhibitor, they significantly reduce N2O emissions by nearly 35%, but they do not have the significant effect on grain yield. So with keeping that in mind, we propose that there is a need to further evaluate these effects of this urease and nitrification inhibitor, which in our case is both NBPT plus DCD as well as nitropyrene, to assess their impact on nitrogen losses as well as on grain yields and protein content from rainfed systems. So our site was located at Linden, Minnesota, which consists of a bare and silty clay loam soil, and the soil properties was similar in both the years. Our design was a RCPD, which is replicated 4 times, and the total treatments were 7, and that consists of the combination of nitrogen source and nitrogen rate. The nitrogen sources were urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor, and the urea with only nitrification inhibitor. And the two nitrogen rates were 146 kg of nitrogen per hectare and 168 kg of nitrogen per hectare. And the seventh was the unfertilized control treatment. In 2015, the spring wheat was planted 1 month earlier as compared to 2014. All of our statistical analysis were conducted in SAS 9.3 using single degree of freedom linear contrast. So this is the picture of my field, where you can see the anchors for nitrous oxide sampling and the chambers for ammonia sampling. You can also see the lysimeter for nitrate sampling. So to count them in more detail, this is the chamber for ammonia sampling. We float the semi-static, semi-open chamber, which uses the soda bottle and a polyfoamy stripe for facilitating the ammonia trap that is emitted from the soil. For nitrous oxide, we float the painted semi-static chamber method, and we took the 3 sampling points, 0, 30, and 60 minutes interval, and the gas were analyzed in GC. So coming to the results and discussion, first I would like to give a brief on weather pattern, weather parameters, and then we'll go to ammonia flux, and then to nitrous oxide flux, and finally we'll move towards the grain yield and protein content data. So the above two graphs shows the daily rainfall pattern over the site, and the lower graph shows the ammonia loss in grams of nitrogen ammonia per hectare over the sampling period. As you see the rainfall pattern, in 2015 we had a much wetter year. We have the cumulative rainfall of nearly 473 mm, and that is like more than double the rainfall we achieved in 2014. And however, in both the 2014 as well as 2015, as soon as after the treatment application, we had a slightly drier, dry period for nearly 1 month. And then after that, we had a much intensive rainfall events. So with this dry period in the initial, we also got the peak in ammonia fluxes in both the years. And during this initial 30 to 40 days period, most of the ammonia fluxes were occurred from all of our treatments. And as you see here, the red one indicates the urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor. They are the only one fertilizer in our experiment that significantly reduced ammonia losses as compared to urea. However, urea with nitrification inhibitor, that is the black line over here, were unable to reduce ammonia fluxes. So moving towards the cumulative ammonia data, we found that urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor, that is NBPT and DCD, significantly reduced ammonia loss by 26% in 2014 and by 34% in 2015. However, the urea with only nitropyrene did not have any significant reduction on ammonia loss compared to urea. But in 2015 alone, we found that this nitropyrene significantly increased the cumulative ammonia loss by 48% compared to urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor. And we also found the significant effect of nitrogen rate on cumulative ammonia loss. And what we found is that the lower nitrogen rate, that is 146, significantly reduced cumulative ammonia loss by 29% in 2014 and by 24% in 2015, which is most like similar. Let's see our nitrous oxide flux data. So similar to the ammonia fluxes, even the nitrous oxide fluxes follow the similar pattern with much higher fluxes as soon as our treatment application during the first 30 to 40 days. But in the later growing season, we had the similar to that of the background emissions of nitrous oxide. And if you notice over the rainfall pattern over the upper graphs and see the nitrous oxide flux, you can clearly see that there is quite a good correlation between the rainfall pattern and the ammonia flux. And the one more interesting thing I want to point out over here is that the red line over here, which is a urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor, as soon as after like nearly 30 days after treatment application, and we got a peak rainfall events during these events, even that urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor were not able to reduce the N2O fluxes. So there is a significantly higher peak of N2O emissions with urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor. So moving towards the cumulative N2O emissions, we didn't find any significant effect of nitrogen rate. So this is only the significant effect of nitrogen source on cumulative N2O emissions. So in both the growing years, urea with both urease and nitrification inhibitor significantly reduced N2O emissions by 50% and by 43% in 2015. Similarly, urea with nitropyrene significantly reduced N2O emissions by 53% in 2015 only. Here, I also want to see the pattern of rainfall over both the years. As you see in 2015, the total cumulative N2O emissions were nearly around 2.4 kg of nitrogen per hectare with urea. However, it was nearly like only 1.1 kg of N2O per hectare with urea. This might be most due to the rainfall pattern in 2015 because we got much more heavier rainfall events, and those rainfall events like highly intensive. Sometimes we got nearly like 70 millimeters of rainfall. So that higher rainfall events that prolonged throughout the growing season in 2015 might be responsible for higher N2O emissions in 2015. So let's see the effects of those inhibitors on grain yield and protein content. In both the growing years, we didn't find any significant effect of any of the nitrogen sources on grain yield as well as in protein content. If you see the general trend, in 2015 we got a bit higher grain yield as compared to 2014. We believe that in 2015, since the rainfall was highly distributed throughout the growing season, there was no any water stress or the water stress for the crop, and that might have increased the grain yield in 2015. But if you see the protein content data, in 2015 we got a slightly lower protein content as compared to 2014. So this might be explained by the trend of grain yield in 2014. So as you all know that the increase in grain yield might have a dilution effect for the wheat, and that might have resulted in the poor protein content on those spring wheat. So with that, the major take-home messages from our experiment or our findings is that nitrogen loss from any fertilizer source depends upon the rainfall intensity and its distribution throughout the growing season. How peak are the rainfall events and how well it is distributed throughout the growing season, that matters the soil moisture content. And since soil moisture is the major factor driving those nitrogen losses, so rainfall pattern is the most important factor that drives the nitrogen losses in rain-free spring wheat production system. So compared to urea with both urease and nitrific inhibitor reduced both N2O as well as ammonia emissions. However, nitrification inhibitor alone, for in our case nitropyrene, might not be effective for reducing ammonia emissions. So with that, we think that there is a need to estimate the total nitrogen losses, both nitrous oxide as well as ammonia emissions, in order to develop the or in order to say that this is the effective N management practices, because one N management practices might reduce one form of nitrogen loss, but at the same time that might increase the other form of nitrogen loss. So also there is a need to relate it with the crop yields, because we never want to lose the yield component of the crop. So we need to evaluating the management practices that will lead to or that will increase or maintain the crop yields, while at the meantime also reduce the environmental aspects or the environmental effects of those nitrogen fertilizers. There is a need to relate those nitrogen losses with crop yields. With that, I would like to thank my major advisor, Dr. Amitabh Chatterjee, who is sitting here. And then I also like to thank my technician, USDA personnel, colleagues and summer helpers. Thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take any questions if you have. As far as NBPT and DCD, that is we generally got the Super U fertilizer, which is already a mix of urea with NBPT as well as DCD. And nitropyrene, since most of the work in Northern Great Plains or Fargo side, they have been testing for nitropyrene, so that is the most commonly used over there. So.
Is that the product?
Like
Instinct, or what is that?
Yeah, that is Instinct, yeah.
Purchasing that
pre-mix,
the Instinct, or were you mixing that
yourself?
For which one, ammonia or? Yeah, that was significant. I only put only the significant data. I didn't put any non-significant data on the slides. Yeah.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.